Hello and welcome to All About Windows Phone Insight number 35. I'm Rife Blanford. Yes, I'm back in the chair this week. Ewan's still got a lot of fringings going on, but I suspect normal service will be resumed soon. But of course, I am joined by my colleague Ewan. Say hello, Ewan.
Hello, Ewan. Yeah, that's too predictable, that one, wasn't it?
It was,
yes.
Yeah.
Normal service, it's strange because we've got so much coming up in September, so much bouncing around, both physically in the world for launches and demonstrations, and also digitally as well, Windows 8, Windows Phone 8, all starting to come out soon. It's hard to guess what is going to be normal service over the next 4 or 8 weeks, or even right up to the Christmas period and into 2013, but we will do our best to always bring you the news and everything that's happening here every week on the All About Windows Phone Insight podcast. Isn't that right, Rafe?
That's absolutely right. As you say, we have got a busy period coming up. It's going to be great, actually. There's going to be lots to talk about, and we're still a little bit in the summer blues, sort of saying, here's what's maybe coming down the road. But as we mentioned last week, we do know there's a knock event coming up on September the 5th. There have been a few more rumours floating around this week, but I don't actually think they tell us anything that is particularly unexpected. Surprise, surprise, Nokia's going to announce a high-end handset, and there's always also going to be one that's mid-range. I think actually Nokia's working on quite a few more handsets than that, but it wouldn't surprise me if at their event in the first week of September they restrict themselves to the first two. There are some unanswered questions around whether we'll see something like PureView in the camera. I think we may see some kind of branding around that at some point this year on Windows Phone, but it won't be kind of the full Symbian version with the 41 megapixels. I suspect it will be a cut-down version that works on the same principles and so therefore will still be a very good camera, but might not quite measure up to the 8 to 8. I mean, you've seen some of these rumours coming around, and they come around all the time about launch events, and we get some rumours on code names and things like that. People can go and find them if they want to, but I think there isn't anything that's a massive surprise here. It looks like there may be the same design, the Fabula design language that was first used in the N9, then was used in the Lumia 800 and the 900. That might be sticking around. I expect we'll see a tweak to that. I'm sure Nokia will be trying to refine that a bit, maybe make the devices a bit thinner. But I mean, it's a great design anyway. But yes, we're going to see something high-end and low-end, and you know, there will be some differences on which carriers carry them. But until we get there, we don't actually get the meat, and there's a lot of unanswered questions still to be answered, aren't there?
Indeed there are, and I think that's where a lot of these rumours come up. If you were to sit down and kind of do the percentages of what's the obvious thing that will happen, you know, when we look back, things that are obvious, you know, such as where does the device sort of end up? What carrier, especially in America, will it go on? If it goes on a certain carrier, it's going to need certain features. So therefore, if there are rumours that it will appear on Verizon, for example, then you could infer that it's going to be an LTE device. And so then if you go, there's another network and there's a flag in their debug code that says it's an LTE device, then it obviously must be going to Verizon as well. You know, these sort of deductions, are they leaks? Are they speculation? Are they news? It's a very interesting area, and it's one that media as a whole has to handle. I don't think that looking back after the announcements, anything will be a surprise. Right now, it's sort of, Let's take your best guess, and you're probably going to be there or thereabouts. The PureView is a perfect example. You know, PureView is not just 41 megapixel camera or 35 megapixel output of picture. It's oversampling when you're producing a 5 megapixel image. It's having exceptionally good low light performance because you're capturing it over 9 or 10 bits in the sensor as opposed to just one. So, you know, if you say, oh, here's a Windows phone with PureView, for example, and it's a 20 megapixel camera, you know, is that half the power of the 8 away? Or is it 4 times the power? Or would Steve come along with this great mathematical equation and just go, no, it's just better and you can't quantify it? All of that is up there. So nobody knows, but everybody knows. It's a really interesting position. And it's also nice to see Microsoft and Nokia especially in this position. Previously, this has been the realms of Apple. You know, when you know there's an Apple launch coming up, everything goes into overdrive and everybody everybody, you know, has a best friend who knows an uncle who knows a merchant who shipped out some screens out of China into manufacturing in Hungary, for example. And that obviously tells us something about the iPhone 5, which will probably just be called the iPhone. It's nice that Nokia and Microsoft have that speculation. It means that they're relevant again. It means people are actually hungry to find out what's going on. So what I take from all of this speculation is it's far better to be talked about than not talked about. And right now, they're being talked about. Yay! Admittedly, it's probably so people can kick them for a week and then go, ooh, new shiny iPhone. But they're being talked about at the moment, and let's take a positive from that.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's encouraging. But as I say, I don't think, as you pointed out there, no real surprises. We're going to have a large screen device and then a smaller screen device. And we pretty much already know the hardware specs from the Windows 8 preview event with the, you know, multi-core processor, given amount of RAM and a certain screen size. I mean, there are a few options obviously within that, but you can expect one to kind of be as much as possible and one to maybe be, you know, a little bit less. I think actually some of the unexpected things will come from the software, because we haven't heard about all of that from the preview event, and there has been leak from SDK which revealed a few more details, but I think particularly on the service side and the way that's going to tie in with Windows 8, be interesting to see what Kit says about that. And given that we know that Nokia's kind of giving up its exclusivity on Nokia Drive, I wouldn't be at all surprised if they've got a few things to talk about software-wise. And so that's one of the things I'm going to be paying attention to when I'm in New York in about 10 days or so. But I think that's probably enough on that in terms of speculation. We're going to be talking plenty more about it when it actually happens. But I have got one more sort of Windows Phone 8 type news item. And this is just to mention that the Unity game engine is coming to Windows Phone 8. Ewan, why is this a big deal?
Remember when Angry Birds came out at the start of the year, Angry Birds Space, and it only came out on Android and Apple? Remember that, right? And everybody went, oh, it's not happening on Windows Phone because it's too complicated.
Yep.
And then they went, oh, no, we've not, you've kind of like walked across the road here in Helsinki and told us that we will, and it still isn't here yet. The reason it was so complicated is because the middleware wasn't available for Rovio. Now, middleware is that sort of code that you talk to that then talks to the hardware. So, for example, rather than address the screen directly, in big complicated hex and assembly code, you can just go, put a pixel at XY, and the middleware will handle that and put that up. Or put a triangle with XYZ, and the middleware will do that up. Basically, if you write for the middleware, and the middleware runs on more than one platform, the chances are what you've written will run on more than one platform. So in the case of Angry Birds Space, it's written mostly once, and then, in this case, Unity would put it on Android, and on iOS. Now that Unity is available for Windows Phone 8, and it is only Windows Phone 8, then it'd be very easy for those big games, big complicated games at launch, to also feature on Windows Phone 8. Now, it's also going to be running on Windows 8 for Surface. I believe Unity is already out there for Xbox Live Arcade as well in home consoles, so you can correct me if I'm wrong. This is actually a pretty big move, and it comes down to the fact that there's now native code access in Windows Phone 8. This won't be backported to 7.8, I'm pretty much sure, but it will be available for the new devices that are coming out. And given the, you know, if you also look at the news this week that Sony's PS Vita, which had a really good launch, is a really nice bit of hardware, is just not getting any traction. All the gaming is being done now, you know, in the sense on smartphones, you know, because they have the same sort of power, and people aren't buying standalone games consoles, which for me I think is a crying shame. But hey, back in my day, that's all we had, and I'm just an old fogey on that one. Unity coming is very important. It means that the big games will be much, much easier to port to Windows Phone 8, and the chances are, once Windows Phone 8 devices get some traction in the marketplace, or there's a dump truck of money, then we will see those games launched on Windows Phone 8 at the same time as iOS and Android. It's like suddenly being given a toolbox that you've always wanted.
Okay, thank you. And yeah, just to back up some of the technical detail then, at the Windows Phone 8 preview event, we were told that C++ code development would become possible. And this is actually what enables all of those middleware engines. And as Ewan says, it makes it a lot easier to do cross-platform gaming. And actually, I think in the first instance, what we'll see is a lot of assets being ported across from iPhone, maybe Xbox, Android, etc. There are actually a couple of other middleware gaming engines that are going to be supported by Windows Phone 8. These were announced back at the summer preview event, and that's the Havok Vision Engine, the Autodesk Scaleform, Audio Kinetic, WWISE, and Firelight FMod, and obviously Unity is joining those. That was actually announced at the kind of the Unity developer conference that took place recently in Amsterdam. Just to reiterate, that is just Windows Phone 8. It's not coming to earlier versions. It's also going to be on Windows 8. One of the interesting things about Unity is it is pretty widely used. The actual developers talk about how, in terms of the percentage of mobile developers that have used it, that's 53%. That sounds kind of high to me, but nonetheless, it is a very popular gaming engine.
It does say used, not published.
Yeah, and you know, it's one of these statistics where you go, but okay, I mean, I know from talking to developers, it's one of the more popular tools. So I think this is interesting. You were talking about Angry Birds there earlier. Just to be clear, Angry Birds isn't using Unity. I believe the engine it uses is Box 2D, but actually the same kind of rules apply here in terms of porting things over. And that's Angry Birds use that on a lot of platforms, not all of them, because Windows Phone isn't the only place where they had to do some extra work to get it across. But it should mean, as you say, a lot more games becoming available. So, I mean, I said when I first wrote this up back in the summer about this C++ development, it actually kind of makes Windows Phone a first-class gaming platform. There are still some missing bits and pieces. One of the things that's caused a lot of comment is OpenGL. But in all fairness to Microsoft, there are other alternatives, and DirectX, their own solution, obviously being one of them, and they are going to have these other gaming engines. So I think the portability of gaming code is suddenly going to go up, and that can only be good for Windows Phone, especially when it's kind of, I think it's fair to say, quite significantly smaller than the other mobile ecosystems. Okay, staying with kind of interesting statistics, let's talk a little bit about Localytics. Ewan, would you like to sort of introduce this one?
Yeah, Localytics, basically, they've been looking at data coming in from smartphones across the platform, and they've got some lovely numbers on Windows Phone devices and sort of rough percentages of what there is. So obviously, where's Nokia compared to Samsung compared to HTC? Nokia, 59% of the global active Windows Phone devices, according to Localytics, 32% of that's in the US. HTC on 21%. And 36% in the US, slightly higher number there. And Samsung in third place with 13%, and in the US base, 26%. Now, Localytics is powered by applications, which means, as you wrote it up, Rafe, there is a bias from people who download applications. But, you know, even with that little bit of windage, it passes the smell test.
It does, yeah. I mean, this is basically saying that, you know, Nokia as a proportion of the active Windows Phone devices has increased substantially. And actually, they're saying it's up from about 22% in January up to, as you said, 59%. And that certainly feels right with, you know, what we've seen in the wild and kind of the effort that Nokia put in. And I think it does underline rather nicely why Nokia has become Microsoft's most important partner and why on the site we spend so much of our time talking about Nokia. I mean, we shouldn't forget the other manufacturers at all. And as you say, just some caution on the exact numbers here because of the statistics, but Localytics, which is an app metric service, you know, is pretty widely used. And if anything, it's going to be biased towards high-end devices. And I think if anything, that might give HTC a bit of advantage given that the Lumia 900 has only been out a relatively short period, and that's actually evident in the US statistics. The other thing is, I think this kind of backs up what we wrote about earlier in the year when we're from Microsoft's results, they said that there were, well, depending on which numbers you look at, between 4.5 and 5 million Windows Phone devices sold in Q2 2012, and that's based on extrapolating from some earlier numbers. So it's not 100% accurate. And Nokia said in Q2 they sold 4 million Windows Phone devices, which means between 80 and 90% of the Windows Phone devices sold in the last quarter were from Nokia. And so that would sort of tie in fairly well with these overall global active Windows Phone devices, because of course that will include devices bought in the kind of six quarters before that. I thought it was interesting because it raises an interesting question really about, you know, what do HTC and Samsung need to do? I mean, what's your current view? Let's start with Samsung, say. What's your current view on Samsung and Windows Phone, Ewan?
Samsung, you can't help but not take in the whole stuff that's going on with the Galaxies, the S3s and everything. They're trying to make them as fast as they can and get them out of the stores. So I think Samsung made a decision to sort of skip sort of Q1 through Q3 in Windows Phone this year and gave HTC, the One X series, sure we'll talk to in a second, and Nokia with the 900 in the US and the 800 around the rest of the world. A sort of almost a clear run. Because they had the Galaxy. They knew that the Galaxy was going to shift absolutely bucket loads, and they were going to go through there. They also made it very clear that they weren't giving up on Windows Phone. They were just holding off until Windows Phone 8. I suspect with Samsung, we're going to see a hardware that looks remarkably close to the Galaxy S3 design in terms of outside and internals, and it will run Windows Phone 8 in the same way that the Focus and the Focus Flash are very reminiscent of the Galaxy and the Galaxy S2. So I think Samsung are keeping the powder dry in terms of Windows Phone 8. Now, the other issue that Samsung have, of course, is they have BATA, and BATA is the next best thing for the mid to low range devices and has been for a long time. And again, it's now the next best thing in 2013. Samsung have got themselves into a little bit of a coffin corner here. You know, they are reliant on either Android, and we all know how much fun they're having over in the US, of course, at the moment on that, and also in South Korea that came back today as we record this, or they're reliant on Windows Phone 8 coming up. Windows Phone 8 isn't quite here yet, so they don't know what that's going to do in the marketplace. Android OS should be fine, but, you know, there are question marks on what might happen from this lawsuit. So they're in a sort of holding partners. We're all waiting to see what happens. But I think Samsung themselves are waiting to see what happens as well. You know, their BATA bet doesn't look like it's going to come through. They've still got a small bind-in with Windows Phone. They've got a big bind-in with Android. They need to make something happen over the next 6 months. And I know that everybody's out there going, but they have the best-selling smartphone in the world. They don't need to bother. Well, you're only as good as your next product. Maybe Samsung just need to Google the Nokia N97 and you'll see what I mean.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting with Samsung. You can't get away from the fact they've got the best-selling handset and they're way ahead in market share terms and they're doing really well with Android. But there is almost this, you know, feeling that it's a bit precarious and it could come crashing down. I mean, you mentioned BATA. That's kind of an interesting case there because Samsung have effectively said now we're giving up on BATA and they're going to use Tizen, which is kind of the stepchild, I guess, of the MeeGo platform. But that's going to take a while before anything happens. It'll probably be late 2013 before we see those handsets. So it's going to be kind of interesting to see what they do with Windows Phone 8. I mean, really, it's how seriously do they take it? Are they going to try and, you know, have it as a... It's not going to be an equal partner to Android because the scale just isn't going to be there anytime soon. But you're right, you know, it does ask question, you know, how do they position them against each other? And, you know, Samsung in general terms, you kind of wonder what's going on as a bit of a safe bet from some of this litigation, but also, you know, they got to keep on innovating on Android and can they afford to have a bit of attention on Windows Phone 8. It's an interesting one because in one sense they don't need to, you know, they could almost forget about it. But Samsung have a very long history of supporting multiple platforms, and you know, with Windows Phone they were one of the big launch partners, and they've actually continued pushing out the handsets this year. I think they've been a bit overshadowed by HTC and Nokia because most of their handsets have been relatively middle of the road. I mean, they've been mid-tier handsets, and indeed some of them have sort of some of them have been a bit higher up, but they were replacement for handsets without being anything really, really glamorous. And certainly, you know, they weren't taking anything away from the Galaxy lineup. It felt like this is what we've got to do just to keep our hand in. But so, yeah, we'll have to wait and see. And Samsung, we know, have got a couple of Windows Phone 8 handsets coming. They're one of the launch partners, and we expect to hear from them pretty soon. But it's all been relatively quiet. Again, there's been a few rumours around this. A big handset, a middle-of-the-road handset. Again, no surprise. I think let's turn our attention to HTC, because I think this is almost the more interesting case at the moment. They've not exactly had the, you know, most comfortable 12 months. You know, some people have already started talking about them in the same breath of, you know, the failures with Nokia and RIM. I think that's maybe a little bit early. I mean, yes, they have been losing money and the financial results haven't been up to expectations, but they're still selling a lot of Android handsets. But what I think it probably is fair to say is, you know, they had their One Series handsets, and these were their Android handsets that they announced back in Barcelona, MWC. But they haven't really caught people's imagination, and the One X, you know, which was really directly up against the Galaxy S3, doesn't seem to have quite caught people's imagination the same way. And having used both handsets, I really can't understand why, because I think the One X is a significantly better handset than the Galaxy S3 because there's very little to choose between them in hardware terms. But I think, you know, that's the specifications, I should say. But I think for me, the One X actually nudges it in design terms. And HTC have done some pretty interesting things with Android as well. Their Sense product that sits on top of the Android UI, you know, I think is quite a lot more appealing to users. Power users tend not to like it so much, but we have to remember they're a relative minority. And HTC, of course, produced some extra Windows Phone handsets earlier this year. We had the Titan 2 come out, but you know, they've been relatively quiet as well. You know, we've seen very little from them in the second quarter, and you really have to go back to the Radar and the Titan as being their kind of current lineup of Windows Phone handsets. And so there's now a lot of expectation around what they'll do with Windows Phone 8. And I, for one, think they're going to go big on Windows Phone 8 because I think this is another opportunity for them to kind of capture some device sales. And they won't be facing off in quite the same way against Samsung, but more importantly, some of the cheaper manufacturers as well. You know, Windows Phone is still a bit more of an exclusive club, and they have a pretty good name in the Microsoft world. You know, people recognize HTC as having produced Windows-esque handsets for many years. So Ewan, I mean, what do you think they need to do to kind of get some of the attention back and maybe return to profitability?
Buy Nokia.
Well,
seriously, I mean, you said they're going to have some space, you know, they can do that. They had that with the Titan 2. They went up Titan 2 and the Lumia 900. HTC got to announce first by about 30 minutes, but the entire focus in the US was the Lumia 900. When it came to the sort of, okay, let's put the two companies together, I'm always left with this question of, what does HTC actually stand for? You know, wait, when there are company names, when you say them, you get this idea of what they're meant to be. Apple. You know, you picture what Apple is meant to be as a company. Nokia, kind of losing its way, but it's getting there. Samsung. Ford, you know, in motor cars, Rolls-Royce, the McDonnell Douglas for aircraft manufacturer, Boeing, they all bring up this lovely emotive image of that's when that company is cheap and cheerful, like take Ryanair, or a little bit of class, like Etihad if you're flying with them. Try it with HTC.
Yeah, it's an interesting
it's just like,
point.
Well, what are they? I mean, they used to be white box manufacturing, white label manufacturing, and they kind of come through. They kind of do, you know, cheap low-end phones, but then they kind of try and do some big-end phones, and then there's some stuff in the middle. And HTC, you know, quietly brilliant is their corporate logo. What they're basically saying then is, we're good, but nobody talks about us. And there's what a wonderful corporate slogan that is. There's just no emotion in HTC. To give you one more example, imagine that you have, Rafe, are you ready for this one?
Yep.
Imagine that you have in front of you a Ford. It's orange. No, that's not such a change. It's green, okay? It's a Dodge Charger. Does it mean anything to you?
Not really, no.
Okay, if I've said to you, Rafe, in front of you, there is a bright orange car with the number 01 on the side, and it goes, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. It's the same car, but one of them is just bog standard car, and one of them has got a little bit of marketing behind it. Kids, it's the General Lee from Dukes of Hazzard, Wikipedia.
Right,
that's
thank
the problem
you.
That HTC have. HTC are a bog standard Dodge that's green, and everybody looks at it and goes, well, it's not bad, but I'm thinking of the General Lee. And you know what? When you go into the shops and you've got the One X, and you go, that's good, it does everything, it can jump over streams, it's got Dixie under the horn, but I'm thinking, well, in the case of the One X, of the Galaxy S3. You know, when you pick up the Titan 2, I'm thinking of the Lumia 900. When you pick up the funky codename in October, I'm thinking of the Nokia. HTC needs to define themselves, and I don't think the market is going to give them time.
Yeah, see, I think HTC have been trying to do this with the One series, and indeed before this, you know, they have shifted from being kind of a box shifter or cheap phones to a more premium brand, or at least that's what they've been trying to do. But I think you've got a point here.
They have the public.
You know, followers of the mobile phone space, and I think you'll find a lot of, you know, technology journalists or fans of mobile phones will actually have HTC devices because, you know, they build very solid devices and they're often good value as well. I know we've got quite a few HTC devices sitting around the office here. But that doesn't seem to have translated quite into the public awareness. You know, there isn't this same sense of history or, as you say, the sense of image. It's, you know, that almost indefinable X factor. And Nokia, you know, despite producing some real dogs, you know, in the last few years, and it's not necessarily even dogs, just not hitting the ball, there's still a fondness for Nokia and there's still people who are aware of the brand. I'm not sure that that's quite so much there. You know, it's almost about, you know, does this company have a soul that's widely acknowledged? And you're right, maybe that's what HTC is missing. And, you know, honestly, I expect them to produce some really great Windows Phone 8 handsets. You know, I expect them to be, from a technical point of view, maybe, you know, the best that money can buy. But, you know, will they have that, you know, that X factor that makes people go and buy them in the shops? Well, I think that's actually what they need to work on. And
yeah, I mean, the only time they've had really good press in the UK, as in they got in the public conscious, was when they appeared on Watchdog, the consumer affairs program, for not being very good at repairing devices.
Yeah, and that's very unfair, because actually HTC, compared to a lot of manufacturers, do a pretty decent job. Yes, they had that bad episode, but, you know, their support is often better than, say, Samsung or Motorola.
But the point is, the public don't feel that. That's my point.
Indeed. And, you know, it's difficult to, you know, get away from an image or a perception. It's something, you know, that Nokia has this same issue, that, you know, there is a perception that they haven't been doing great recently, and are they going to be able to get out of that? And whereas I feel that, you know, with Windows Phone, Nokia has spent a lot of money and started to kind of reestablish the brand, it doesn't feel like HTC have done that in quite the same way. And in one sense, I think it's a shame, because, you know, the handsets are very good. And you look at, you know, their position in Windows Phone, it's going to be very hard to kind of generate an image and generate noise next to Nokia, who are going for Windows Phone full throttle. You know, they're not playing about with Android, you know, and honestly, Android is still HTC's main business, make no mistake about it. So, you know, it's a real challenge for HTC. So it's going to be very interesting to hear not only what their handsets are about, but their whole messaging around them and how they're going to present them, and, you know, what sort of times they're going to have with operators, and then the marketing campaign that goes with that. Because I almost feel for them, that's going to be more important than how good the handsets are themselves. But again, watch this space, because we're expecting announcements from HTC in due course. Now, I think we'll switch away from sort of talking about the future and talk about some things that come out the last week, but we will have a future mention as well. You know, and let's talk about recent Xbox titles. And there's been things like Little Acorn, Sun is Spark, Asphalt 5, Contract Killer. I've been playing some of these. I kind of can't help but feel that Xbox Live is treading water. So are there any you'd pick out as a particular highlight or maybe a low light?
I can pick out lowlights for you. We can pick out lowlights out of all that. It's that sort of dull summer period. Windows Phone 8 is coming. We're pretty sure, again, speculation, but it has been announced, for example, that there will be a new Sonic game coming to Windows Phone Xbox Live at some point. We thought a couple of people were thinking it could have been in July, but I suspect they're holding that back for Windows Phone 8 now, because they can go, hey, it's got Sonic, as a sort of nice kick, which means there is a certain feeling of, let's look in the cupboard and see what we've got, or, guys, we're contracted to do something, we need something here in 2 weeks. Asphalt 5 came out like 2.5 years ago on Android and iOS devices. It even came out in Symbian before it came out on Xbox Live for Windows Phone. And even the Symbian version is better. Sitting there in the C6 without any of the graphical accelerations or anything. It's a poor driving game with a very bad control system. Can't recommend that one. Contract Killer. Contract Killer's nice, but it's a good B-movie title, but it's not strong. It's not a leading title anyway. And again, it's a freemium game, which basically means you're going to have to keep paying and paying and paying, even though it's a free download. Sally Spy is a sequel to Sally Salon with a UI that's even worse. Next. What was left in that means Little Acorns. Little Acorns could have had it. Little Acorns is a really good platforming game, except it doesn't save your game when you exit the game. With a little bit of a bug, when you launch the game again from your live title or the start menu, it resets your progress and takes you back to zero. How that got through quality control, I have no idea.
Yeah, I should just add in here for Little Acorns, that bug does go away if you buy the full version. It's only in the trial, but I think it's probably the worst place to have it in some ways, because people see this in the trial. It's not saving my level data well. I certainly don't want to play for the full version, because I'm never going to get through all the levels in one go. But yes, I agree with you. You know, and there's been kind of just, it doesn't feel like the Xbox Live titles have been firing on all engines. But as you say, I suspect this is entirely down to the fact they're kind of getting out the regular one a week, and some of the better titles are being saved up for the Windows Phone 8 launch. And actually,
all the developers would be testing. They've got Unity Game Engine now. They'd be getting direct native code access. They're devs. They're geeks. They're going, hey, we've got a new dev kit. We can have a play around and see what we can do on Windows Phone 8 devices. Someone in the background is going, you need to do at least 2 hours a day on Sally Spa to get it out the door. Oh, all right, then. There we go. That'll do. Off you go. Right, what's the shiny thing? Oh, get me the shiny thing. You know, and those games that, you know, if you have a developing house that knows that some really good titles coming for Windows Phone 8, they're not going to put out one that's, you know, not as impressive, you know, that had the design spec from 6 months ago. So, yeah, they're going to shift these out the way now because they have to. You know, they've spent development time on that. They need to get some sort of return out of them. And they'll have more return now than if they do it after the new devices get into people's hands because, well, for example, Sonic is being held back, so we need to bring something forward. There's no way that Sally Spa could compete with Sonic. Yeah. You know, so why bother? Just get it out now, you know, cut your losses and bring it through. It does kind of deaden the Xbox Live brand, but thankfully, they are maintaining one a week, which is a far better place than... I'll go back to Steam again. Remember, there was a point, Rafe, where we got a really good game every week or so out of the Nokia OV store.
Yep.
And we kind of thought we were seeing a pattern, and we were starting to build it, always looking on a Friday, and then it kind of petered out again. Xbox Live is still doing that. Look on a Wednesday, you'll get another game. Look on a Wednesday, you'll get another game. So even though they're burning down through the cupboard, congratulations on maintaining the rhythm. That is very important. And as long as that rhythm stays right through onto the Windows Phone 8 devices and on again, I think they're in a very good place. They've got limited resources, like any company has. They are making best use of them. It's just a pity that the resources are a little bit rubbish.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely right. Now, one thing that did catch my eyes, this week's Xbox Live title, I believe, is called Shoot One Up. And I haven't looked at it in detail, but what was interesting is that the branding of the Xbox Live was actually using the kind of the new look logo, and that's obviously in preparation for kind of a refresh of Xbox Live on Windows Phone that's coming up in due course. You mentioned Sonic briefly earlier. One of the things we kind of know about Sonic, that this is going to be the second Sonic game on Windows Phone, is it might well be introducing what you might call synchronous gameplay, in that you can start it on the Xbox, pause it, and then continue playing it on your Windows Phone device. There's actually a couple of other titles that have come into the Windows 8 store this week that suggest we're seeing that in other titles as well. In particular, there's Microsoft Mahjong, Microsoft Minesweeper, and Microsoft Solitaire Collection. If you download those on Windows 8 through the Windows 8 store, you'll actually get offered an update, one of which of these feature items is pause and resume your games across any PC, tablet, or Windows Phone. Now, of course, we know this isn't currently possible on Windows Phone, but I think this is a standard thing we're going to see coming into Xbox Live for Windows Phone 8. This kind of ability to start playing on one device and then resume playing on another device. Now, it's not going to obviously apply to all the big console titles, but for a lot of the kind of the arcade titles or the casual game titles, there's no reason why you can't, you know, start playing on your Xbox console, maybe then start playing on your PC and then resume playing on your phone. At least initially, it looks like it's going to be between kind of Windows 8 as a PC platform and Windows Phone as a mobile platform. But it all sort of ties in with Microsoft's three-screen approach. And if they can market this properly, I actually think it, you know, could be a pretty compelling thing to have. It's one of those things, sort of part of me goes, yeah, are people really going to do this? We'll have to wait and see, because honestly, most of these games, I'm not that bothered about pausing it and then resuming it on my phone. But it, you know, once you start introducing the concept, there are games for which it is more suited than others, and particular ones where you're working through multiple levels. I quite like the idea of starting the level on one thing and then being able to keep it going on the phone when I'm sitting on a train or on an aeroplane or something like that. So it certainly does have potential. And this is actually an example of what I was talking about earlier, where we'll see, you know, Windows Phone 8 introduce all kinds of new software features and new bits of the services that will make it more compelling. And so Xbox Live future developments are one thing there. We already know there's stuff coming through Smart Glass. You could also look at this from the music side of things. You know, Zune, we know, is a brand name, is going away. It's likely to be called Xbox Music. it seems likely there's going to be some kind of cloud service, maybe a time between your phone and desktop and the web, but we don't know the details of that, and that's one of the things we kind of expect to hear about shortly. So plenty to come there, and I think Xbox, you know, is a good kind of example of where we might be seeing things going. So watch this space. I mean, you know, would you, out of interest, would you start playing on a PC and then resume on a phone when you're playing a game?
Yes. One of the games that immediately springs to mind is a little Flash game called Now Boarding. There was a cut-down version available on Symbian. It plays in Flash full screen, so hey, it's dead. But it was a level-based, but it was ongoing management as well. You think of something old school, like take Civilization, for example, which we do have mobile versions for. Being able to jump that between screens, that would be wonderful. I mean, technically, it's exactly the same as a word processor, right? We've seen it before where we can edit a Google Doc on our PCs. I could be editing it, and it's up on your screen. I can stop and go, I'm done, and then it'd be up on your screen. And then we can pick it up on, in a web browser, phone, or a mobile handset. Like keeping the state over different screens and different devices using the cloud, it works. It's just not been done properly for mobile gaming as yet. Sony are kind of there. Again, I'm looking back at the PS Vita to the PS3 combination. Sony are getting there with some of the titles. And also, interesting to see now that when you buy one title, you're getting digital copies free. The big thing, of course, here is, do you have to buy Sonic twice? Take the Sonic example. Or do you get it, you know, buy it for one, you get it for £10, and then buy it for two, you get it for £12 both, or you can buy £2 to get the upgrade if you buy it within 90 days. There's some interesting sort of wrinkles there, but the principle, I think, is perfectly fine. And those people who are hardcore gamers, and there's no doubt that gaming does drive many people in the choice of their smartphones. Yes, you do want to move between screens.
Okay, yeah, because we've had the integration already with games like Kinetimals, and you know it was technically very elegant, but I think you know the widespread usage just wasn't there. I think it might come in with a synchronous gameplay, but I think perhaps what we've learned here that it's going to depend on the type of game, and so something like Minesweeper, maybe not, but a longer burning game like Mahjong, well, quite possibly, and particularly on the level-based or, you know, the long-running simulation-type games, you know, SimCity or Civilization, as you're talking about there, then it does become a lot more appealing, or where, you know, it's level-based, you know, you want to be able to say, you know, I think Angry Birds is a good example of this. If you play it on the tablet, oh, God, I've got to complete all these levels again, having already done them on the phone or in the web browser or whatever it happens to be. I suspect Angry Birds or Rovio are working on, you know, that sort of, you know, play across multiple devices solution as well. But it's interesting that Xbox could make this a you know, a standard feature like online multiplayer or the leaderboards or the achievements, you know, making it easy for developers to implement this kind of thing, because it does require quite a bit of back-end stuff, obviously, to work seamlessly. So yeah, well, watch this space, and maybe Ewan, I'm glad to hear you're more positive about it than I am, possibly. So I think before we run out of time on this podcast, we'll just do our app picks this week. And Ewan, you've been playing with something called DoodleFit, so explain that to us.
I have, yes. DoodleFit is like a jigsaw with Tetris pieces. I went to download the trial version, hand on heart, there wasn't a trial version. I realized that I pressed the buy button once I actually downloaded and installed, but it was just 79p. I'm sure there's a process that I could have been, oh, I didn't mean to do this, give me the money back. But I'm actually pretty proud of it. I have played DoodleFit before on other platforms, so let's be fair here. But it's just a nice, good, you know, move your finger around, drop the piece in, and you get like the shape of a big letter A, collection of Tetris pieces. You're not allowed to turn them around, you're not allowed to flip them over, they have to keep the orientation they have, and you have to fit them together. Some of them have only one solution, some of them have two or three solutions, and it will tell you if there's three solutions and ask you to find them all. It's a nice pick-up-and-play puzzle game, great for the queues as I'm bouncing around Edinburgh for the Fringe, waiting in line 5 or 10 minutes to see Henning Venn, for example, who's a German comic at the Edinburgh Fringe telling jokes about World War II, but it's worth seeing. And it's just nice. It's well put together. The interface is good. It doesn't get in the way. When you're ready to play, you can play. When you want to throw it away and pick it up again, you can throw away and pick it up again. Yes, it's been around a long time, but it's accomplished, and it's how games should work in a mobile platform. Big thumbs up.
Okay, thank you, Ewan. I've also got a game to talk about this week, and it's Pandoodle. Now, this is a cross between a puzzle and a painting game, I'll describe it as. And essentially, you've got objects in a playing area and sort of sources of paint, and you have to draw the right line of paint to the right source. But the complication is sometimes you will actually need to mix the colours together to get the right colour, and you do that by crossing one line over the other. But of course, you've only got a limited amount of paint to do this, and so getting all those lines right, getting the doodles right, can be quite difficult. There are added gameplay elements as you work your way through the game. For example, you go over a mirror and it will mirror your painted line on both sides, and there's rotating things as well. It's available completely free from the Windows Phone Marketplace, and I thought this was a really quite charming game. You know, it's been implemented ever so well in terms of, you know, things like saving your progress in the game. It's got the rating of 3 stars. It's got good in-game tutorials and graphics and sound effects, and I was just really impressed by this indie title being available for free. You know, there's clearly a lot of love, attention to detail has gone into it. It's really great, and so if you're a fan of puzzle games, absolutely recommend it as a download. And even if you're not a big puzzle game, I actually think it's worth it, because it's quite an original bit of gameplay that's been so well implemented that, you know, you kind of look at this game and you know I wish, you know, the attention to detail on this was done in every Windows Phone game. So a big thumbs up from me for Pandoodle. Okay, well, I think that's about draws a conclusion to this podcast. Next time we're recording, it may well be after the announcement of the phones. We're going to maybe squeeze one more in. We'll have to wait and see on that. But there's going to be plenty to talk about without any doubt. So it only remains for me to say thank you very much for listening. You can find us on allaboutwindowsphone.com, also on Twitter at AA_WP, and on Facebook at facebook.com/allaboutwindowsphone. So thanks from me, Rafe Blanford.
And thanks from me, Ewan Spence. Stay safe. Have fun with your phones. Use them as tools. Use them however you want to. But remember to say I love you to your loved ones. And also, it's nice to be friends with you, Rafe, to the other person on the podcast, just so there's no awkward moments.
Thank you, Ewan, and thanks for listening.